If you have your Bibles tonight, find two passages of Scripture, please. Find 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and if you would, find 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter number 2. This morning we finished up the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the importance of the foundation of Jesus Christ, looking at the understanding of those two houses that were built, those two decisions that were made by those men, one man choosing to dig deep and put his house upon a solid rock, another man choosing just to build his house upon the earth. We understand from the Word of God, Apostle Paul, that the Lord Jesus is that spiritual rock. We have found the necessity that if our lives are going to measure and withstand the great storm, if they will last for eternity, they must be founded upon the Lord. He's talking about being saved there. He's talking about being born again. He's talking about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, I wanted to preach to the church and preach to the believer about the responsibility and the joy we have that once we have Christ as our foundation, to build upon that foundation, to know the security, not just of heaven, but to know the joy of life on the earth now. Let me tell you something. Salvation is not all about heaven. Salvation is all about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're living your life thinking about, well, I just one day everything will be made right in heaven, so I'll just tolerate misery now, that is a believer who doesn't understand who they are in Christ and what they have in Christ. And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches us a responsibility that we have in building upon the foundation of Christ. Very familiar passage of Scripture. If you look at 1 Corinthians 3, he's talking here about teaching them the gospel. If you look at verse number 9, "For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." He's talking about the church at Corinth. He's talking about saved believers. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation." Paul went there to Corinth, that wicked city, and he preached to those people that were lost in sin the proper foundation of the Lord Jesus. "Another buildeth thereon," verse number 10, "but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." So Paul preached the gospel. The church at Corinth received the gospel. They received the foundation of Christ. Christ then changed their life. Christ transformed their life, and Christ began to secure their life. And Paul said that that church now began to be God's building, and God began to build them upon that foundation. But then he said another came along and began to build upon that foundation. "And any man and every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." He's talking to the church members. Verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is," say his name, "Jesus Christ." Now that we understand who the foundation of our lives is, and who the hope of our eternal security is, and that our lives are settled upon him, verse number 12, "Now, if any man build upon this foundation," speaking of Jesus, "gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble." You've got six things listed here. Three and three contrast one another. Three are precious and three are consumable. Three of them are considered eternal. Three of them are considered temporal. They all represent building that a person does with their life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made, what's that word, class? Manifest. Made known. That means how you build your life upon the foundation of Christ, that is going to be made manifest to all. It's going to be made manifest to you. It's going to be made manifest to those that see that. And the truth is going to happen there and to be revealed. The Bible says that day, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now the judgment here that Paul's talking about is the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a judgment for your eternal security. This is a judgment for the believer. The Apostle Paul says there will be a day when the believer will stand before the Lord at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, and what will be judged is our life that has been built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. What we have done as a work or a good work for the glory of God. Not a work for salvation. We cannot do that. But these are good works that we have been created unto. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse number 10 says, for we are his workmanship created unto good works. What does that mean? That means good works are impossible for an unsaved person. Well, Pastor, you know, I've done good all my life and I'm doing good things and I'm just going to offer up good works to the Lord. When the Bible uses the word good, it's using the word righteous. It is impossible for a man or woman who's never been born again to do a righteous work. If you understand that, say amen. When I get saved, the Spirit of God bursts me in the kingdom and creates me unto good works. I now can do righteous works. Why? Because Christ is in me and Christ enables for that work to be done. The world can look at an unsaved person and their mentality is we're doing good things. The problem is they're measuring their standard of righteousness with human government or with human kindness, human charitableness, or humanitarian effort. And that righteousness will never compare to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So when you and I get saved, we have the foundation of Christ, then it is our responsibility to build upon that foundation. Pastor, I don't want to build. Well, you will sorely be hurt and discouraged and sorrowful when you stand before the Lord and you have nothing to lay down at His feet. I'm going to tell you something. When you stand before Jesus Christ, you're going to want to have crowns to give Him for who He is and what He's done for you. And so our responsibility is to build. Now, knowing that we are to build upon the foundation in our life, what does that encompass? That encompasses every area of your life. Your home should be built upon the foundation of Jesus. Your marriage should be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Your job ought to be built upon the foundation of Christ. Your mind, your thoughts, your dreams, your aspirations, everything about you needs to stem from the platform of Christ Himself. That's our responsibility. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. I need you to see this. We won't go anywhere else other than 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe Peter here gives us a starting point for where and how we are able to build upon the foundation of Christ. A lot of times people ask me, Pastor, where do I begin? It's amazing how we don't do something because we don't know where to begin. Peter here in chapter 2, I love the epistles of Peter. I'm finding myself constantly in this book, in these books, and they're ministering to me. First Peter is a book really that deals with holiness. It deals with holiness amidst the backdrop of suffering. And it's a fascinating book as Peter is outlining who Christ is, what we have in him, especially in chapter number one. In chapter number two, Peter begins the chapter with the word wherefore. Again, we find ourselves here. And he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may, what's that word? Grow. Now, we said this morning, in order to understand the context, whenever the word wherefore is, you got to go back and see what he's talking about. Well, if you come back to verse number 18, Peter is making sure you understand something. He's making sure that you have Bible knowledge as to what he's talking about. And this is something that happened in your life. Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who, speaking of Christ, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him, that's Christ, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. By the way, that's the only place your faith and hope ought to be. Every other place will be disappointing. Verse 22, Peter says, now seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23, being what, class? Born again. Peter is clarifying for them what it is to be born again. He's clarifying for them who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, how they were redeemed, not because of them, but because of him. And he's stating their position that you need to understand how you were saved. Keep reading verse number 23. Not of corruptible seed, hallelujah, but of incorruptible, speaking of the nature of God, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass, means that it will pass away. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Verse 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. All right? So before he ever goes into chapter number 2, Peter is saying, listen, you need to understand that you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. You weren't saved because of the tradition of some church or the tradition of your fathers. You were saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And if you think it to be precious, say amen. And he says, it's got power and it had cleansing to it. He's trying to get them to understand the firm foundation of Jesus. Understanding that foundation of being born again, he comes into chapter 2, verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. That word laying aside is the word cast off. You know, one of the reasons that you and I are able to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, to build upon that foundation that which is eternal, to build upon that foundation that which will pass the time of judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, is because, praise God, we've been set free from sin. You know, I'm glad that the foundation of Christ enables me to know victory over sin. It enables me to know the casting off. It enables me to know the laying aside. Let me say a word to those of you that have a habitual sin, a constant sin, one that you loathe. I'm going to be very, very poignant here, so make sure you understand. It's one thing to have a constant sin that you have learned to live with. Be careful about learning to live with sin. Nowhere in that Bible do I find a believer ever is able to live in sin. But the Bible does say we have a besetting sin. So I don't know what your sin is, your besetting sin, the sin that's kind of got you entangled, or the sin that's kind of got you wrapped around, the sin that breaks your heart, the sin that is that constant pull on you, that sin that you loathe, you hate it when you fall, you're just broken. You would do anything to be free of it. Most of the time, when a person has that kind of mentality and that kind of sin and they cannot get victory from it, it's because you are approaching it from the wrong way. You say things like this: God, remove it. Remove the temptation from me. But I got news for you. God doesn't tempt you with evil. Lord, just if I go to do this, hurt me. Don't pray that. He might hurt you. Now, God, if I think this way, give me a headache so I'll stop. God, if I go to do this, somehow cause me to... And those are honest but ignorant statements. I need you to know something. Jesus Christ is all powerful. And if we have been born again, and He is the foundation of that transformation, then it is only as we go to Him. He is the deliverer. He is the one that has power. So many of God's people try to handle things on their own, and they never go to the person of Jesus Christ. And Peter is saying, listen, you've been born again by incorruptible seed. You've been born again. Your sin has been covered by precious blood. He has been resurrected from the dead. He is all powerful. Therefore, because He's the foundation, you can build a life that knows victory over sin. I think sometimes God's people think that there's just certain sins you'll never know victory over. If that's the truth, then you got to rip Romans 6 right out of the Bible. And I promise you, that is not coming out of the Bible. So He says on that foundation, lay aside. Look what else He says. This is how I begin to build upon the foundation. I realize the authority of Christ. Verse number 2, I need the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Listen, building upon the foundation of Christ is growing. You ought to be growing in your Christian life. Praise God, growth is a sign of life. If you put a seed in the ground, you give that seed water, and God gives that seed sunlight, then that seed, as long as it's got good soil, is going to grow. Something that does not grow is not alive if it's supposed to grow. And one thing about our lives is that we are to be growing. Let me tell you something. You are to be building upon the foundation. And that building is to have levels and floors. And there ought to be growth. You ought to be a stronger believer, a stronger Christian in Christ, a more victorious Christian in Christ now than you were a year ago. Well, Pastor, how do I measure that? How do I measure growth? Well, I think there's a couple of ways you measure growth. Number one, you measure growth by peace. You measure growth by knowing the Word of God. What your conversation, the words coming out of your mouth. I'm doing a discipleship with someone in the church, and part of the discipleship is they've got to write out the whole book of Mark. Pastor, we're never asking you to do a discipleship on me. I got news for you. Everybody in the program does it. And one thing the person said to me was, as I began to write out the book of Mark, I began to find myself speaking those verses. I began to find myself in a position and the Word of God would come back to me. See, the problem is, the reason that we're not growing is because we're not in the Word of God. You will not grow as a believer if you're not in God's book. And you're never going to build upon the foundation of Christ. And he is the word of God. He is saying, trust me. Stake your life on me. Build on my book. Trust that book. Read it. Devour it. Desire it. The way a newborn babe desires milk from the mother. Desire that book. See it as a lifeline. See it as a necessity. Don't get away from it. Verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Now here we get into the foundation of Christ. He's the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, men rejecting, but chosen of God. Doesn't care what man thinks. God has approved of his son. Chosen of God and precious. So here's a description Peter gives of the Lord. Now look at verse number 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Peter says, listen, upon the foundation of Christ, you're to be built up a spiritual house. That's really speaking of the church, but within that church is the building up of our personal lives. There's to be the build up of holiness. There's to be the build up of sacrifices. We're to yield our bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God. Verse number 6 tells us why we can do that. Here's that word wherefore again. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Who is the him he is talking about? Jesus Christ. He's saying, God's saying, listen, Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. And any man that or woman that believes upon him will not be ashamed. You ever use the phrase, that thing is well built? That thing is well built. You know, a house can go through a storm. Some houses don't make it and some houses do. A house that has a good, strong foundation can handle more. And you look at something and you say, that thing is well built. And it speaks about the integrity of that. Peter is saying here that Jesus Christ holds an integrity to him that you can count on. You will not be ashamed. Sometimes the world is going to make fun of you. Sometimes you're going to feel like there's a shameness to Christ. But I promise you there will be a day when it will all be revealed and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse number 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, that's really speaking of those that rejected Christ, the same is made the head of the corner. Don't care what they think. He's the cornerstone. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, where also they were appointed. But you, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, that's what our lives are to do. Our lives are to reflect in the nature of their building, the integrity of the foundation. And people ought to look at us and say, that guy is well built, not physically, but spiritually. That person has peace I've never seen. That person has love I've never seen. That person has wisdom I've never seen. That person has those things. And our lives ought to be bringing sacrificial praise and glory, demonstrating that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. He goes on in verse number 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Listen, one way I'm able to build upon the foundation of Christ is I don't have to give in to fleshly lust. It storms against my soul. But Jesus Christ is greater than your lust. I don't know how to do this dignified. I'm going to try to do it careful. I need you to hear every word, because I'm going to choose my words very carefully. the drive of lust is one of the strongest drives that our sinful nature has. And no matter how much you don't want to be involved in it, it wars against the soul. And most of the time, that warring against the soul from that fleshly lust keeps us from building upon the foundation of Christ. And we think that because the drive of lust is so strong in our flesh that nothing can overcome it. So we learn to just kind of be a little bit resigned. But I got news for you. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16 proves to us and tells us that if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What do you mean by that? God is greater and stronger than the drive of the lust of our flesh. But you have got to understand the foundation of Christ in your life. If you try to handle lust without a foundation on the earth, you're going down. Every time. You might make it a week and you're going down. It's stronger than that. And the only thing that can handle it is the Spirit-filled life. And if you're not in the Word of God, if you're not growing in that Word, if you're not understanding the incorruptible seed of the nature of God that lives within you and the hope, and understand that you've been brought out of that darkness into that marvelous light, that it is not your life's goal to be a slave to your lust. Your life's opportunity now is that my life can bring glory to Jesus Christ. And you better learn how to build on Him. On Him. He goes on, he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He's saying other people are looking at your life. They're looking at what you are building. The unsaved Gentile, he's looking to see what you're building on that foundation. He's looking to see what that foundation can support. He's looking to behold your good works, that they can glorify God. He talks in verse number 13, understanding the submission of yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. As I build upon Christ, I find that I have a submissive spirit. I have an understanding of authority to the King as supreme, to governors. Verse 15 talks about that being the will of God. As I build upon the foundation of Christ, I find great freedom in Him as free, not using my liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. I don't want to build a house of maliciousness on that good foundation. But as the servants of God, I find that I love men. I honor all men. I love the brotherhood, the church. I fear God. I honor the King. There's a discipline that comes to my life. There's an authority that comes to my life. There's an obedience that comes to my life. Servants are subject to your masters. There's this with all fear. There's a process there where I'm submitted and gentle also to the forward. He goes on to talk about how a servant lines up. So all of these things are only possible because Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of my life. And if you don't reckon Him to be the cornerstone of your life, and you don't build upon Him and His Word, you're never going to have the life that God has possible with you, for you, with Him. I need you to believe me when I tell you that Christ is strong enough to handle your greatest fear. I need you to believe me when I tell you that He's rich enough to handle your biggest bill. He's patient enough to handle your most repetitive fault. And our job is to understand that as we build our lives for His glory, they've got to be built on Him. Otherwise, our lives are completely unstable and completely set up for a fall. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my house falling down. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of that. I want to know that secure building upon His foundation. And God's people said, all right, that's where you begin, is understanding who He is and His great power and authority. Shall we pray?